رب العالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. We start with the book of excellence of knowledge or فضل العلم, the second chapter in the first volume of Al-Kafi. We have completed the first book of reason and ignorance, كتاب العقل والجهل. And now we are with the second one, فضل العلم, the excellence of knowledge. Here there are many hadith which stress upon importance of knowledge and what is the right knowledge which a Muslim should seek of that. The first hadith here from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam saying that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ألا إن الله يحب لغاة العلم. To acquire knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. No, Allah loves those who have longing for knowledge. So first, to acquire knowledge is a duty and obligation of every Muslim, and those who seek knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. Well, in another hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, طلب العلم فريضة. To acquire knowledge is imperative, or is a duty, obligation. And we come to the fourth hadith here. One said from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, saying, O people, you should know that the climax of religion is to acquire knowledge and to act upon it. Verily, acquisition of knowledge is more incumbent on you than the acquisition of wealth and money, since wealth and money already stand distributed and guaranteed by Allah. It has been so done by one who is just. Wealth is destined to reach you, but the knowledge has been reserved only for those who are worthy of it. Hence, you have been ordered to acquire knowledge from those who really possess it. Do acquire it from such people. Here, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam is saying that if you need your religion to be perfect, you have to seek knowledge and to practice of what you know. Naturally, without knowing usul al-deen and knowing furu' al-deen, knowing Islamic rules and regulations and different issues of life, we cannot make our faith complete. And if we know only, we know what is halal, what is haram, what is good and bad, and do not practice, again, our faith is not perfect. So here to say, to complete the religion is to seek for knowledge and to practice that knowledge. Then Imam alayhi salam is comparing between knowledge and wealth. He said to seek knowledge is more important for you than seeking wealth. Why? Because he said the wealth is assigned to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, decreed and guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-Razzaq and He is responsible to send livelihood of the human beings. So the human beings are living, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send them their rizq. So he says their rizq is coming, as in the Holy Quran says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, in Surah Zakhraf, Ayah 32. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have divided among them their
livelihood in this worldly life. And also in another ayah, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا in Surah Hud, ayah 6. And from every dabba, every living, walking being, except upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each descent its livelihood. So everything, whether human beings or animals, their rizq is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send it to them. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed rizq, you say, why you try hard for your rizq and you do not try hard for knowledge? Well, rizq is being guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is just, and He who is the just is dividing it, dividing rizq and wealth among you. And because He guarantees it, naturally He will fulfill His guarantee. And the Imam stressed that the knowledge is available with its own people, the people of knowledge, the ulama. And you have been ordered to seek the knowledge from the right people who have it, so seek the knowledge. Here is stressing more and more about seeking knowledge. Well, many hadith on this subject discussing, you see another hadith number 6 from Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, Sadiq, تَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَتَفَقَّهُ مِنْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَهُوَ أَعْرَابِيٌّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ فِي كِتَابِهِ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلْيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ Imam alayhi salam say, acquire sound understanding of religion, since he who amongst you does not acquire it is a rustic Bedouin, since Almighty Allah has said in Quran, they may gain sound knowledge in religion and they may warn their folk when they return to them, so that they may be aware. Surah At-Tawbah. So you say, you have to study your religion, to learn your religious duty, which in short called At-Tafaqquh fi Deen, understanding religion. Understanding by studying Usul-e-Deen and Furu'a-Deen and other ahkam to know what is our faith. Then Imam says, he who do not understand religion is like a Bedouin, Arabi. Arabi here is meant those who are in desert, in rural areas, who are not aware, have not been educated by ulama or at time of prophet, have not listened to the Holy Prophet or to Sahaba or to ulama at this time. So they remain without any sort of understanding. They are ignorant of their religious duties. So the one who is in town and is not really studying religion is like the Bedouin who is in desert and knowing nothing about his religion. Whatever is his education or standard, but since he doesn't know his religious duties, he is like that illiterate Bedouin. Hadith number 8, again from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, لَوَجَدْتُ أَنَّ أَصْحَابِي ضُرِبَتْ رُؤُوسُهُمْ بِالسِّيَابِ حَتَّى يَتَفَقَّهُ. He says, it will be to my liking if whip blows continue to be delivered on the heads of my companions or followers till the time they acquire understanding of religion. The Imam is stressing about necessity of studying religious subjects by the mu'mineen, and say, I wish if they do not study, they are beaten by strife, they are strife, till they go and study their religious duties to their fiqh of religion. So that is about necessity of knowledge, the obligation of its quest and its incitement. We come to another subject under this book, صفات العلم وفضله وفضل العلماء, property and significance of knowledge, and the eminence of the learned scholars. The eminence of the learned. هي رواية إمام موسى بن جعفر عليه السلام. He's saying that one day the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, once the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, while entering into the mosque, saw a man surrounded by the people. The Prophet inquired about the man. He was informed that the man was an allama, a learned scholar. The Prophet inquired, what is an allama? I mean, what does this learned scholar knows? The people told the Prophet, well, allama is a person who of all the people knows most about Arab lineage. So the importance of this man, what the people were around him, is that he's a scholar in Arab lineage, Arab battles, and the days of ignorance, historical conditions prevailing before the coming of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, and all about the Arab verses and Arab literature. So that was his importance, that man, according to the people. Hearing this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam remarked, this precisely is the knowledge the acquisition of which is neither of any profit, nor is the non-acquisition of it of any loss. So you see, the Prophet said, you know, to know these types of histories, if you know, it will not give you any benefit, and if you don't know it, you will not gain any loss. So what that is going to do for your guidance? Then the Prophet added, through knowledge is of three kinds. The first is the knowledge of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are precise and unequivocal. So the main knowledge is first to know about ayat of Quran, which are ayat muhkamat. The second is the knowledge of the obligations of equity and moderation. And the third is the knowledge of As-Sunnah, Islamic code of must and mustn't, imperative and prohibitions. The rest is to excel or a surplus. So what the Holy Prophet in short here was stressing, that the main knowledge which is needed is knowing about Quran, religious duties, and about the Sunnah, which are either mustahabbat or Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other knowledge is just a surplus, extra, but not that really important. Because due to knowing our religious duty, we will save ourselves in dunya and save ourselves in akhirah. Here there is another hadith from Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. He said, العلماء إن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. The ulama are the heirs of the prophets. Since the prophets do not leave behind them any monetary legacy, but they have behind them the legacy of some of the aggregate of their traditions. Well, since it is not proper for them, for the prophets, to leave monetary legacy behind them, so for their followers as being their guide. He who has secured a share from the legacy of these traditions has actually secured the lion's share. So you must look at the source from where these traditions has been taken. Verily, the source of these traditions is to be found in us, the worthy family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. every one of us who comes after the other is an embodiment of justice who nullifies every distortion and deviation of the extremist, erases every falsehood, and cuts out the misinterpretations and misconstructions of the ignorant in divine revelation. So here, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying that the ulama are the heirs of the prophets. That is because the prophet did not inherit money that was not their aim and not the main inheritance, because the money might be inherited by relatives of the prophets. His sons or daughters or wives, they will inherit the money. So that is not the main inheritance of the prophets. But the main inheritance of the prophets is the traditions of the prophets. So anybody who get access to traditions of the prophets, then he has got a good chance. So now here, it looks that the Imam himself now saying that you, the people, look, you are taking your knowledge from whom? From whom means the companion who is relating that hadith, narrating that hadith. You should know, is he narrating it from the right source to the Prophet or to somebody else? So Imam said, among us Ahlul Bayt, in every generation there are certain just people who will remove the deviations of the extremists and erase every falsehood and cut out the misinterpretations and misconstructions of the ignorant people. So every time there is one among Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, was in that time Khalaf here. Khalaf means time. They say either every 40 years or every 80 years or every century, 100 years. That is called the type of Khalaf. So that is what is there, that at every time there are certain people who preserve present their religion and keep it intact on the right side, because by time there will be a lot of deviations. Some are extremists, some are not taking from the right source, so naturally the religion of Allah will be distorted and the Muslims will be divided into so many groups, so many types, so many sects. Now which one is the right one? He says if you follow those who relate themselves to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, who are household of the Holy Prophet and has taken the ahadith directly from its source, not from the people who might have gone wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided that in every generation there is one who can preserve the religion rightly. Of course, at time of occultation of the 12th Imam, naturally his patronage and his guidance is there, though he is not seen and he is behind curtain. But after all, he is aware of the situation of the Muslims in general and the Shias in particular, and try to guide them to the right way so that they should not cause a destruction of religion. Still, the right path should remain. And we see, alhamdulillah, for 1,400 years after death of the Holy Prophet, still ahadith and fiqh of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam is existing. Here another hadith on Abi Ja'far alayhi salam. Abi Ja'far is Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, saying to have true understanding of the religion, to be patient in adversities and to be balanced and well planned in one's economic dealings is an unaccomplishment of all accomplishments. So the accomplishment of all accomplishments, or the perfection of all perfections, here is said three things. First, to have a proper understanding of religion. Secondly, to have endurance at time of adversity. And third, to plan your economic condition so that you live in a good economic situation. Now, if one has to plan his life, not to live his life, it's a taqdir, al-ma'isha. Neither spend more, nor to be tight, to be greedy, and to know how much is income, how much is his expenses, and to manage that, and to work hard for his livelihood in the from the right way and from the right direction. So these are the best things. We come to hadith number 8 in this chapter. عن أبي جعفر عليه السلام أبي جعفر الإمام الباقر عليه السلام said the scholar who derives spiritual benefit from his knowledge is far better than 70,000 devotees to Allah. So what is meant here, the alim, a religious scholar, in which the people get benefit of his knowledge, he has a better status than 70,000 persons who are worshipping Allah, doing only ibadah. So he says the value of ilm comparing with ibadah. 70,000 people who sit and only pray in one side, and one alim who teach the people and get the people get benefit of his knowledge, we say now the situation of this alim is more important in the view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the position of these 70,000 people. So the abid, the one who worship, will do favor to himself alone, but the alim is guiding others to the right path and is expanding the religious awareness and understanding among people, so that people know their religious duties. So importance of alim, you say one alim is worth more than 70,000 worshippers. One alim, but that alim in which the people get access and benefit to his knowledge. But the alim and is sitting at home, not teaching, not guiding, naturally is of no much use. The main alim of benefit is the one who propagates Islam and teach people, preach the people, and try to guide others to the right path. So his work is valuable more than the work of 70,000 worshippers who sit and worship only. Well, it is a great hadith really, in this, which another hadith is similar in meaning to this hadith. Muawiyah ibn Ammar said, I asked Abu Abdullah alayhi salam about a person who quoted your Imam's traditions, propagated them among the people, imprinted and fortified the traditions in their hearts and the hearts of your followers. On the other hand, there was another devotee to Allah among your followers who had no such quality of relating and propagating your traditions. Which of the two was better? The comparison between two mu'mins, one is learning knowledge of Ahlul Bayt and propagating it among people and guiding the people. Another one is only worshipping. He's a good man and he's a worshipper. So which one is more important? Here Imam alayhi salam replies,
he who relates our traditions, imprints and fortifies them in the hearts of our followers, is far better than 1,000 devotees. The importance of alim is such great. I read the hadith in Arabic. عن معاوية بن عمار قال قلت لأبي عبد الله عليه السلام رجل راوية لحديثكم يبث ذلك في الناس ويشدده في قلوبهم وقلوب شيعتكم ولعل عابدا من شيعتكم ليست له هذه الرواية أيهما أفضل؟ قال الراوي لحديثنا يشد به قلوب شيعتنا أفضل من ألف عابد. So much is important to learn and teach and propagate among the people and let the people or the mu'min will get stronger faith, better understanding of the religious duties and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, knowing usul deen in a better way, through a deen and fiqh and religious duties, they should know it in a better way. A man who does that regular teaching and preaching is more important than 1,000 devotees who are sitting and only worshipping. How much is it great, this subject of teaching and preaching religious duties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to be among the propagators and active people who teach the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam.